If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome back. Good to see you both.
That's Jennifer, O-D-W-Y-E-R, joined by me, Sophie, voice talent White, writes, and Cassie, peg teeth, dry wit Delaney. And we haven't introduced ourselves in about, I'd say, 84 episodes. So I just thought I'd just get right in there.
Stuff it in.
Stuff an introduction.
People are probably sick of us.
Into the holes really. On either side of your head. Goodbye.
Welcome back to the Creep Dive. Here we are, the three of us sitting here with full of stories, ready to deliver them into your face. Don't buy organic milk from Tesco. Tastes like the nipple of a cow.
Full there of stories just makes me think IBS.
But do buy.
Fid,
delicious bags of food. You seeing it at Tesco? We're not sponsored. I'm eating some right now. Big fan. I think Fid.
Hashtag I pay for it.
It's delicious.
I don't think Shane is a fan of the show because he often shouts us out and responds to our stories. And he sent you in some bags of Fid before that I ate because
that was the problem.
Start of the pandemic, and I haven't seen you since then. And they're delicious. I have them often for my lunch. You've just mentioned them as if you invented them or were the first person to discover them. And they've been around for a really long time. I often eat them. So thank you for that, Jen, O-D-W-I-E-R. This is like the way my mother invented cycling. She's only recently purchased an electric bike also. And we have the Saturday cycle crew. And every Saturday she's like, cycling is just wonderful. Magic. I must tell more people about it. I must raise the profile of cycling. I must let people know it's an activity that they can engage in. And it's simple. It's like riding a bike. It's so simple. Cycling. Love it.
Love it. 10 out of 10. Would recommend cycling. TM Trisha. Do you know what though? I bought myself a brand new bicycle this week.
Hey!
It's very rare. I haven't had a new bicycle in ever, I'd say. I've always been a, you know, as cheap as humanly possible, as dangerous as humanly possible. And that was going well until I nearly hit the child of another person about 6 days ago. That child ran out into the fucking road like a stupid fuckhead. But it would have been my fault if I killed him, of course. The brakes on my bike aren't brilliant. So I'd have generally be relying on dropping the old feet to stop. And then killing one child coupled with I'm transporting at least one of my children on the bike. I said, look, you know what? You're a successful lady in your mid-30s. You have a skincare routine, but get yourself a new bike.
I was like, what the fuck? More?
What you go for? Talk me through it. Where'd you go?
I went to, because I am the aforementioned fancy woman with skincare routine, I went to the Dutch bike shop for myself.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Where I got mine.
Did you get the Dutch lady or Irish man?
Do you know what? It had a code. It was like the GB460 or something. That's what I went for. Now.
Oh, I see.
It's
I was describing the owners of the shop, not two types of bicycle.
I have not met anyone in the shop, obviously. Sadly. But yeah, I'm pretty excited because actually it's got a great front carrier option that's going to be really good for my house creeping. So I'm probably going to just slide it in with this month's expenses. Not a problem. Perfect.
No problem.
Not a problem.
We can all expense off our bikes then. Excellent. I'll slide mine in.
No, wait. Not Jen's. Not Jen's. Jen's cost more than my car did.
I have an electric cargo bike and I'm not ashamed for anyone to know that.
You should not be.
That's what I'm
going to
do. Do you ferry the kids around in it?
Of course I do.
That's what I'm going to get when I have kids. Like, when we get back on tour now, let's go on the cargo bike, Jen.
I don't know. Maybe one is at a time, I think, is realistic.
Come on, now, Cassie and I are very slender, kind of whittled from a little twig, each of us. We're very hungry.
Tall, we need some slight children.
Fit us up, and then you won't be able to carry us. Anyone got a creep of the week?
The people who hacked the HSE
website, because I had an appointment that's been cancelled tomorrow that I've been waiting for 6 weeks.
Well, here's two theories on that, right? Number one, Russians. People very quick to just point the finger at Russia.
Yeah, no, so did Seb straight away.
Yeah.
Number two, Israel. People who hate cats.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Because of our ambassador.
The size of Russia.
Yeah. So it's one of the two, Cass.
I don't know. Do you know who my money be on now? Do you want to hear?
Ashling O'Loughlin has hacked the HSE.
Because I feel like she doesn't have the kind of anarchy vibe. Do you remember the Slate magazine? Do you ever think, what happened to the lads who used to, or the people, the folks who used to do the Slate magazine? Betcha they're behind it. That's a very Slate magazine vibe. Cass, do you remember it, or are we dating ourselves a little bit here? Used to be a free sheet.
No, I remember.
You'd get
it
in Dublin. Used to get it in Simon's Cafe, among other places. Any of the record shops would have Cafe. It. Why do you look so blank, Jen?
Because I'm bringing up my story. I'm pretending to listen and you fucking caught me. What's happened there. You got me. I'm trying to bring up my story.
I have a slate to hand, I think. Bring up your story.
Old school.
I'm just going to see if I can find a slate. And I mean, I have a good story already, but sure. This could be a good side creep.
Okay, this is great. Okay, I've got a good creep for you today. So creep of the week is whoever hacked, and that's actually, no joke, terrifyingly bad. Because we don't know yet how much of everything is gone. We'll be able to be retrieved. Which hospital were you booked into?
I was just going for blood tests with my GP to discover why I've had shingles four times in 4 fucking years. We're about to get answers live on the podcast. And instead, back to ground zero.
That's pretty frustrating. Is there any option?
It's so frustrating because I've been waiting weeks for this appointment in person.
Okay. Well, look, they'll get to you as soon as they will, which will be very soon. Everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be fine.
But people can't see you right now. And right now, you look extremely fancy. Your hair is all flicked. It looks very dense and black. And your skin looks nice. And your eyebrows look nice.
Thank you. I drew on my eyebrows, but I do have an appointment for my tattoo eyebrows with Lizanne Proctor Brows. Don't go booking to her at once because there's a long waiting list for her appointment. So I'm going to go there, get my eyebrows done. It's where Joanne McNally went and got her tattooed eyebrows. I've had so much Botox, I can't move my face beyond this point. And I got my hair done.
Cass, let's have a look. Can you bring your face closer to the screen?
I can't move my face. These are my eyebrows raised. Wait till you see me on the live on Friday.
Okay.
It looks so deadpan.
Do a squinty smile.
Me?
Doesn't move up here. Look. Right? This is the biggest I can smile now. No movement. Okay?
That's very effective. No.
You wouldn't even know I was moving my face. No.
And how about the...
Look, I can't raise.
Was that the look you were going for? Do you achieve it?
Yeah. A 12-year-old who was the look I was going for. A 12-year-old who could draw on their eyebrows.
Kathy, lilac.
I'm just really in that phase of my life now where I'm willing to just spend money to make myself look younger and younger. So tattooed eyebrows, blow dries left, right and centre, Botox whenever I can.
Get a bit of acne.
Doing anything.
Younger and younger is a waste of goddamn time. We need to pick a different
thing.
More
frozen in time, like literally frozen.
And frozen. Okay.
Yeah.
And how'd you looking great though. Look, it's all paying off. And what's the story with tattooed eyebrows? What if
microbladed eyebrows
change? Oh, they grow out, is it? It's not as permanent.
It's all going to be fine.
It's all fine.
I mean, I'm sure it is. It's all fine. Look, grand. I want to look like a Kardashian by the end of it. Need to book in a spray tan.
And a bum. A spray tan and a rounded backside.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to take your tits and have them stuffed inside your arse.
And then we're going to emerge from this lockdown and I'm going to look the same that I did when I went into it. And no one will have known that I lost a lot of hair and aged significantly over the last 14 months.
So you're shaving 14 months off your age. Back. I wonder what That's our exactly biological what ages are. Do you know the way, do you remember in that crazy Gwyneth documentary series on Netflix, they all found out what their biological ages are, whatever the fuck that means. I suppose like bad their organs are aging or whatever. I'd love to find that out. I'd love to find out about my cholesterol levels.
I'd say I'm 67 with the face of a 25-year-old.
Yeah. Lads, this is great. It's like loose women sometimes on this podcast.
Do you want to hear some good stories?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
A story.
Here's what I have for you. A short one and a long one.
All right. I've got a medium, maybe short to medium. It's called Evil Stick.
I've got a short medium inspired by nature, inspired by a fact I learned on Bee TikTok, which is a lovely place to be. There's a lady who saves the bees. And at the end of every video, she goes, and it was another lovely day of saving the bees. And I learned that the lady bees, the worker bees, after the men bees, male bees come in and mate with the queen, they have no use anymore and they're just fucking dead weight and they eat all the food. So the lady bees all get together and they kill the male bees.
Ooh.
Amazing. So they're now identified as a bee. Sacks of semen. A flying sack of semen enters the room. Semen is put
Job
somewhere.
Done.
Kill the wings. Kill the beast.
Yeah.
With the semen.
Yes, and they drag
the
them out to the cold.
Bin it. Recycle the
Let
packaging.
Them die. Yeah.
So they just block his entry. They're like, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Your mission is complete. And please exit. And then that's it. They're gone. Dead. Alone in the cold.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And if you go to a beehive, you'll see loads of dead boy bees on the ground.
The little boy
bean and gone.
Being and gone.
So, very good. So, inspired by that tale, I have a story of a lady who just killed her husband. Just on honeymoon, just killed him.
Love it. Just she killed. Didn't get a whole group of friends together to do it because that.
No,
like
no,
so
no.
Much
she
fun.
Just was like, she's like, I'm going to drag you out here into the cold. Job's done. Bye.
If we could go that way with our respective partners, we should do it as a group. It'd be great, kind of, you know, away day activity for the creep dive.
And they can't catch us all.
Gotta catch
them. No, we can be alibis for each other. What we'll do is pre-record a live. Put that on as a video on Zoom. We have 250 alibis. No one to question it. Getting away with murder.
Murder. Okay, let's go.
And then our search history is so dark that it's like a double bluff.
Exactly.
Like these people have looked up murder for 3 years now. And we're like, yeah, we've got a true crime podcast. It's work, not research. For a crime.
Love it.
I can't wait.
They're like, who would be this obvious? Surely no one.
Who would be this foolish?
Let's move on.
Who would release it? Who would actually, well, actually, who would write a book called How to Kill Your Husband and Then Kill Their Husband?
Oh, of course.
Somebody is who?
Former creep. Love that lady.
Let me quickly tell you what this is. Go. Have you ever heard of this? This is frightening that this got... Anyway, here we go. 1965, George and Charlotte Blonsky, childless New York couple, granted patent for a particularly fucking strange invention. Okay, I'm in quotes. An apparatus for facilitating the birth of a child by centrifugal force.
What?
Ringing any bells?
No.
No. Right, let me explain it what it is. This is an apparatus consisting of a turntable, okay, over which a pregnant woman who's ready to deliver is laid down with her legs pointed outwards. Do you get me?
Yeah, like she's lowered onto it, vag first. Are they going to like corkscrew the baby out of her?
No, wait for this. She's strapped down hard.
Oh, everybody in labor loves that.
What's going to happen to her is that she's going to be rotated at high speed. Right?
Oh,
when sufficient speed is reached, the baby will fire out of the birth canal propelled by the centrifugal force caused by the rotating table. And in here we are again.
Presumably a lot of like matter, other human matter would also spin out.
Yes, hence why everyone
this
in
is a literal
must wear
shit storm in a teacup.
It's right. So the pregnant woman is screaming and rotating at high speed. Now what you're thinking is, how the fuck is the baby going to land safely anywhere? Never fear, because there's also a patent here for an infant reception net located that will be located between the mother's legs, and that will catch the baby as it comes firing out. So the purpose of this invention, so said one of the inventors, was to provide an apparatus which will assist under the equipped woman, I'm not sure what that means, by creating a gentle and evenly distributed, properly directed, precision controlled force that acts in unison with the supplements of her own efforts. I mean, you get the drill.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
That I would love look, to see.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it definitely, do you know what it reminds me of is, did you ever hear about how, well, the rumored method for making McDonald's nuggies is spinning picked. So these are chicken carcasses that somebody's already de-meated. And then they stick it on a skewer and spin it really fast inside a metal drum. Really fast. So that'll kind of dislodge any last whisper of meat that might have been on that fucking chicken carcass. And then they get a spatula and scrape the edges of the barrel and reform that paste into a chicken-like substance. And then it's deep fried. And then you get it with, you can get 6 or you can get 20. Get the 20. You'll regret it if you don't. And barbecue sauce. No, don't fuck with ketchup.
Sweet
and
sour.
I do not like that sweet and sour. No.
Sweet and sour.
Shit, that's made me just instantly want a McDonald's. So fucking bad.
Okay, just a quick shout out, because 2014, the Science Gallery Dublin actually built this in a full-scale model. Isn't that fucking amazing? It was part of their Fail Better exhibition, and it was kind of showcasing thought-provoking ideas that failed spectacularly. So the machine could go up to 7 Gs, and it was equipped with a bell in accordance to the original design plans that rings to notify people that the baby has in fact landed, in case no one was paying attention. Isn't that fucking hilarious?
It's moving so fast you might miss it.
That
yeah.
is
so
good.
That's from Tessa Delahanty, Science Gallery researcher. Thank you kindly. Anyway, that's my shorty to kick us off.
That's
fantastic.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Fail better.
The things people think of.
I'm sure, you know. That could have, I mean, you can definitely see the logic in it.
You can. But again, it's a recipe for disaster, Sophie, is what it is. You and I know it. Cassie, you'll know it.
Maybe.
A smoothie
like,
baby.
You know, the thing is, the actual, like, no, like, you know, method that we've been given by nature makes even less sense, frankly, than the spinning woman and the baby receptacle net. Like,
I agree.
Who thought of that? People coming out of people. It's not a good idea. Doesn't really, like, it's very hard work. Ask anyone who's had a 3-day induction.
No,
or has anyone ever tried, like, have given birth upside down and letting the baby just, like, pull itself out, like, in a pull-up sort of motion?
Like a kind of a primordial demon.
Yeah, yeah. Like, is the pain not from pushing it out? Would you not just go on your head and let the thing just, like, pop up like a little... That wouldn't work.
Poor
no.
Kathy. You need
like a chubba chub. Or no, a push pop.
A push pop. Gotta push pop up. Push pop. No. What's happening is that you need to shit them out.
That's what happens. It's a real shitting motion.
It's actually shitting that you're doing.
So imagine taking a huge shit while performing a headstand.
Imagine, yeah. That would just be fucking...
I mean, certainly possible.
Shit just absolutely cascading up out your art.
And then into your own face.
Cassie, why did you make
we've
it
gone
so
into
disgusting?
Mother of Pod territory there now. I'm just wondering, has anybody ever tried place. It upside down?
I would say not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Agreed.
Okay, cool. Will I tell you, will we go bees and then evil stick? Or
let's go bees.
Bees. Let's go bees.
Okay. Well, I've told you as much as I know about the bees. I'm just going to tell you about a woman who kills her husband now.
Oh, of course.
The bees just kill the male bees. It's just inspirational. It was a little thing that set me off onto studying. I started looking at other animals that killed male animals, and there was actually just too many to get into. I thought I'd save
spiders,
that for life sometime. Lots of them.
Scorpions. They fucking all do, Kat. Anything that's male is smaller than a female. The female will eat that fucker right up.
Yeah.
Anything at
but
all.
Here,
you know when you see
I'm here
couples,
to tell you.
Never mind.
Go on. The
no,
short
never
man.
Mind.
You're saying
well, I'm saying maybe an appetizer.
Maybe.
We don't know.
Maybe, hold on.
Are you a size discrepancy couple? Get in touch.
Exactly. Ever looked at your other half and thought small enough?
There's a little snack. Eh?
Little snack. Hey-o.
Hold on, meal.
Okay. Okay, I'm here to tell you about Cody Johnson and Jordan Graham. So 25-year-old Cody Johnson met 22-year-old Jordan Graham in church in Montana. Cody wasn't very religious until he met Jordan. And soon enough, they began dating and going to church together regularly. Before this, Cody was kind of what they called a car person. So he hung around and part of the gang, like a very innocent gang where they went drag racing, drank beers and whatever. And
put lights under their cars. You know that thing.
Yeah.
We know them. Boy racer.
Boyos. Yeah. But like in the States. So probably a little bit more like Grease Lightning meets Teen Mom. And... So they began dating and going to church together, and Jordan kind of turned, or Cody really changed for Jordan. I'm not going to say Jordan turned his life around. Cody just changed to impress her. He was madly in love with her. Cody was like obsessed with her, but according to friends, Jordan just didn't really feel the exact same. She liked him, was grand, but like wasn't as madly in love with him. And Jordan was a big Christian, so she didn't believe in premarital sex. And, was waiting till marriage, right? But friends of the couple said that they never saw them kind of be, you know, there was no like PDA. They never seemed to really like each other. They never held hands. They never saw them kiss, never saw them hug. So it was really surprising to people when after just 1 year of dating, Cody proposed to Jordan and she accepted.
Well, that is a year
I was like,
of
I didn't
really
think that Jordan liked Cody.
Is what that is.
Yeah, and I didn't think, and they're
you
young
see,
enough.
This no sex
like,
before
I didn't
marriage.
Think she liked him.
But the no sex before marriage rule is irresponsible. Like it's forcing
it
people
yeah,
to get married, like A, without ever having road tested each other's genitalia, but also B, just potentially having like fairly warm feelings towards this person would be warm for their form. Only way to do it, marriage.
But
and
so,
then
and
they,
Kat,
it's very
yeah.
costly divorcing anyone.
Like they find lots of like any port in the storm except vaginal penal penetration seems acceptable. Am I right here? So they're
I've
fucking
never heard that.
Well, I, what I've heard and what was said to me once by a fellow Christian when I was born again Christian was, I can look at it, I can touch it, I just can't put it inside me.
Oh,
so like,
God, that would be excruciating.
You know, so I'd say that like
like
there was
looking
a little,
at it all the time.
What is the Bible say about like self pleasure? I don't know. That's for another
I'm going to say it's a no.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a no, Cass. What about the blindness?
Of course.
Yeah, thou shalt not fap. their friends were surprised when they got engaged. But Jordan seemed happy out posting a photo on her Instagram page of the ring and all that kind of stuff. So the couple was married on the 29th of June 2013. But Jordan seemed to be dreading the day as it lay ahead of her. During the ceremony, she rarely looked at Cody. She was really uncomfortable. She didn't smile. And Jordan's best friend and maid of honor, Katrina Martinez, said that Jordan had been having cold feet before the wedding. She asked, Jordan said several times she was asking whether she was making the right choice by marrying Cody. And immediately after the wedding ceremony, Jordan expressed intense regret, saying, I should be happy, but I'm just not.
Oh, directly, Cody's sorry, groomsmen, directly after the fucking ceremony.
She was at the afters.
Yeah, she was like, oh God, this is awful. Isn't it terrible?
We should have gone for the salmon.
Yeah. Cody's groomsmen had said beforehand not to marry Jordan, but they didn't like Jordan because they pulled Cody away from his life of the cars and the drinking beer and the, you know, having fun or whatever. And also a lot of the friends said that like their relationship to each other was just very distant and like there was better out there. They didn't seem to be in a happy, loving relationship that you would normally see. And it was just incredibly awkward. But Cody was really happy after the wedding. He was on an absolute high. He told people he was married to the love of his life. Meanwhile, Jordan texts Katrina saying that she had told Cody that she was continuously on her period, so they hadn't consummated the marriage.
Oh,
and if
no.
he tried anything,
still
she
blobbing
would
away
freak.
Here, Mr. Blobby yeah. over here. Day
she
18
would freak out.
Of the cycle.
Yeah, so it got to day 8 after the wedding, right? And nobody. 8 days after the wedding, nobody heard from Cody. So he was reported missing on the 8th of July, 2013. Or 8 days had passed without anybody hearing from him.
Jesus, she yeah, did not
only,
fuck
it was only 8 days after the wedding. No. So basically, Cody's friends and family started to wonder where he was and why nobody had heard from him. And Jordan had this story about how she had no idea where her husband had gone, that they had gone to dinner with another couple on the night of the 7th of July. And when they were on their way home, Cody received a phone call that upset him. And then when they arrived back to the house, Jordan realized her phone was dead and that she had to go pick up a charger from a different location. So while she was out, she claimed her husband texted her saying that she was going for a drive with a friend from out of town. Now, bearing in mind, she said her phone was dead and then said her husband texted her saying that he was going out. And then when she arrived back, she saw Cody get into a dark vehicle with Washington State license plates. And that was the last time she'd ever seen him. So she basically just said he went out for a road trip or went out for a walk that night on the 7th of July. Hadn't seen him since. And everyone was like, why haven't you tried to contact him? Are you not concerned for his well-being that he hasn't arrived home? So that she was friends said that she was completely unmoved by the whole situation. And the more they questioned her, the more agitated she became. And at one point just took off her wedding ring and fucked it across the room. So definitely not playing the role of the saddened widow who has lost her husband 8 days after their wedding.
Oh, it's tiresome though. I mean, it's like when something's wrong with your partner and you have to feign caring. I'd say,
yeah,
you know, you'd lose patience like that with having to be all sad. Visibly sad.
But like trying to, I guess,
but
trying to cover
Jesus
your own tracks
Christ.
Here with the whole like potentially being a suspect, you might try a little harder.
Make a tiny effort. But that's hilarious. Like they wouldn't even, 8 days, they could have had that marriage annulled. Like,
yes, exactly.
Especially because I don't think they'd consummated it at all,
she's
right?
She's not smart.
But then she's a Christian and they don't believe in the old divorce.
Yeah, but they would believe in an annulment. You're allowed to annul, aren't you, Cass?
True.
If it's not consummated and if the other person lied about something really key in their life.
Yeah, you can probably get out of it.
Yeah, especially rapid fire.
Yeah, Jordan wasn't even really trying here. So, you know the way she told investigators and friends and family that he had texted her, say that he was going out with a friend for a drive. She just didn't have the text messages on her phone. They were like, okay, can we see the text? And she was like, oh, don't have them. So she didn't even go back. So the investigating team started handing out flyers trying to find him. And conveniently, Jordan gets an email from someone called Tony S. And the email said that he was a friend of Cody's and Cody was dead. And that he had fallen off a cliff while on a trip to Glacier National Park. And the search for his body should just be called off because he's dead. And so Jordan showed the email to the investigators and was just like, here you go. It's fine. And
it's like this, the email the is like Tony467@gmail, but then username just Jordan.
Exactly.
But imagine emailing someone to let them know their husband was dead several days after he's been missing, like allowing 3 days to pass and being like, I really should get around to sending that email. I'm like, hey Jordan, sorry for the delay,
sorry for my slow response,
hope this email finds you well, FYI Cody is dead.
I've been out the door this week. Cody,
call off the investigation.
Went off a cliff.
WBXX. So the investigators were still searching for the body around the 11th of July in Glacier National Park. And Jordan came along and she was like, oh, I know where the body is. I know where the body is. God is leading me to the body in the path.
Jordan.
So Jordan got into Cody's car with her friends, Amy, Hannah, Cecile, and Cody's 16-year-old brother, Michael.
Why the fuck would you bring a full car of people to find a dead body?
Well, like road trip or whatever.
Yeah. Want to see a dead body?
They basically were, they all said afterwards that Jordan was in surprisingly good humor for someone who was on her way to find a dead body, that she was laughing and singing in the car and waving her arm out the window.
I was about to say, she had a mixtape.
Yeah.
Like Cody Tunes 2004. What year are we at?
We're in 2013. Yeah.
Love it.
So we're talking like, maybe peak OC soundtrack? No, that's earlier.
I was going to say Shauna Paul, but that's probably it.
Someone goes that in. And I don't really care what people say. I don't really care what them want to do. Remember that? Absolute banger.
Just give me the line.
Shaggy wasn't me as she drove the dead body. Perfect. Not offensive at all. So anyway, God was leading her back to the body. She drove there with the friends, singing the mixtape, and took them to a popular area called the Loop, which had a ravine that was like 200 feet tall. And there she looked down at Cody's lifeless, battered body and said, there he is. It's him.
There he is now. There's himself.
So
he's lost the head completely.
So Michael's 16-year-old brother was so distraught, he had to actually crawl back to the car. The shock had he couldn't walk.
Oh, Jesus.
And on the way back, Jordan was in the car and was like, look, we've the body now. We can call off the investigation. Let's have a funeral and the cops can be out of it. And everyone was like, this is just not how the law works, Jordan. Like, you can't just find the body in mysterious circumstances because you've received an email from Tony. You've led us here because Jesus has told you this is where the body is and you think this is all over.
She's after a book deal. You know, the kind of evangelical publishing house. She probably was like, I'm gonna get myself one of those fucking book deals. I just had a flash of them putting Cody in the car, driving him back beside the 16-year-old brother.
No, pretty sure they left the body there. So when asked how she knew where Cody's body was, she at first said she had a feeling, and then she said she knew it was there because it was one place that he had said he wanted to visit before he died. So he quite literally, hopefully, fingers crossed, at least got to see it before he died. But obviously investigators were like, there's so many fucking inconsistencies with your story here. You've changed your story so many times. And there was just loads of things wrong with your statement. So Jordan initially said that she wasn't with Cody in Glacier National Park, but surveillance cameras showed the couple entering the park together in Cody's vehicle. Jordan said she and Cody hadn't been fighting leading up to his disappearance, but text messages from Cody to his friends said the opposite. And finally, the IP address of the email she alleged came from Tony was registered to Jordan's parents' home, and it was determined that Jordan had written it herself on her stepfather's computer.
Like, no investigation necessary here. Like, were the detectives like, this is the easiest Saturday ever?
Yeah. Open and shut case, right? So once they confronted Jordan with an overwhelming amount of, yeah, so lazy, that's the thing. At least the honeybees pull the boy bees out by their wings and leave them, you know, they try harder and they drop them off the side of the thing.
She's very, very Gen Z murder happening here, I think. Well, pre-Gen Z.
Very lazy. It's like lazy. Janine Butcher when she just pushed...
yes, a classic.
Poor, EastEnders. What was the name? Oh, just pushed him off the cliff.
It's such a brilliant scene.
But like the cliff push, I really support as a method. I'm sure I've detailed it before many times. It's great. The key is, I believe, just to basically take an accident... Something that's very, very possibly an accident, exactly. And just tip it just that tiny percentage closer to the edge. That's what you need.
Yeah.
But like what she needed to do was like, A, don't be fucking fighting with him for the week leading up to the accident.
Don't find him.
Yeah.
Because she went for the walk with him. But what she needed to do was tip him off the edge and then be distraught and raise the alarm. And like it was an accident. Yeah. He stumbled.
Immediately. Yeah.
Yes, that but ensure he's dead. Otherwise, he's coming back to life and you're nursing that bitch into the 80 octogenarian.
Do you know what I'd do? I would pretend to stumble myself so that if on the off chance the fall didn't kill Seb and he came clawing back up, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, thank God. I could never have lived with
myself.
You're
just slightly more injured than I am.
I turned my ankle. Yeah. Did you see my bad ankle? I turned and I went over on it. Yeah,
I was reaching out to you for support and I accidentally pushed your 8-foot body off this cliff.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what you do. I think for a successful murder, what you have to make sure is that the cause of death happens just after your involvement. So push down a mountain, the cause of death is going to be falling down a cliff. What happened before that, who knows?
Who cares?
But in the case of Jordan, she actually had a lot of clues that she had pushed him off. So the injuries Cody sustained were not consistent with an accident. He had fallen head first. He had injuries to both his arms and his head. And there was a piece of cloth beside his body that was a blindfold. So he had been blindfolded, pushed off the cliff. So I don't think he actually did get to see the one place he wanted to see before he died. But she had left the blindfold. It must have come off during the fall.
How did she get him to put the blindfold on?
Blowjob.
Because he sounds said, like he was a nice guy.
We're going to do a Cliffs of Moher blowy here. And it's going then, you'll shield your eyes and you'll get a lovely mouth surprise. And bing, bang, bosh, corpse.
God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Off the head. Anyway, so Jordan... Investigators suspected that Jordan had said that she had a surprise for her husband, lured him to the area, blindfolded him, told him to turn around, and then pushed him backwards off the cliff. And Jordan was arrested and charged with first-degree murder and making false statements to authorities. But she pleaded not guilty. She testified that she'd been second thoughts about her marriage, and when she and Cody went on a hike together, she had decided to talk to him about it, and it escalated into an argument. She said Cody grabbed her arm during the fight, and she defended herself by pushing him off the cliff with both hands, resulting in his plummeting. But she said, "She didn't think about where I was. I just pushed." Exactly. I did not try to see if Cody was still alive, nor did I tell anyone what had occurred. She just simply got in his vehicle and drove home and kept up this ruse for a few days that he'd gone off on a thing. And she said her motive, basically, she feared having to fulfill her sexual obligations within the marriage. She said she felt physically ill at the thought of consummating her marriage with Cody, and that he had pressured her into engage in all sorts of sexual acts that she felt uncomfortable with. But Jordan continued
kissing,
that Cody wanted
heavy petting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But moments before closing arguments in her trial, Jordan shocked the entire courtroom when she changed her plea to guilty and accepted a plea deal of second degree murder, sentencing her to 30 years in prison. So she was sentenced in March 2014 and she's not eligible for parole.
Ever.
Well, they always seem to get around that, don't they? They then get like, they have appeals and all that kind of stuff and yada, yada, yada.
But, her plea, because if she pled not guilty and then was found guilty, she might be executed.
I think you can get the death penalty. That's usually what stops people
from running the risk.
Pleading. Yeah. Mm. Or just, but like, but usually when they give people life sentences, they can be appealed later.
I see. So but like, still she a did chance. Admit,
yeah.
But yeah. Then still a chance. Guilt, we're rooting for her now.
What a fucking Egypt factory.
Egypt. Like, it's just a low effort. Lazy, it's unforgivable.
Total knob end.
Yeah.
Lads, this is my notes are just here in front of me. But in a member of my story, a guy in my story's name is Dr. Willard Bliss.
Isn't
it? Dr. Not a typo. His first name was Doctor.
Oh, Doctor.
Imagine doing that to...
I just heard Dick Bliss.
Dr. Dick Bliss. Anyway, not to worry. So if you take us, thank you, Cassie. Love
great.
An old story about a bee. That's nothing to do with a bee.
Well, it's inspirational. It's the same thing. It's just nature replicating itself with a dumb woman from Montana.
Love and it. She is a bee. Let's be frank.
Mm.
Okay. Right. What did I say? Oh yeah, evil stick. Evil Have you guys heard stick. Of the evil stick?
Never.
Okay, so this kind of this well was sent on to me by Creep Dive listener and great friend Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. So basically, we're in Ohio in 2014, and a mom called Nicole was buying a gift for her 2-year-old daughter. I would say don't bother; she's not making memories yet, but fine. And it was the week after Halloween and she'd gone into kind of a pound shop, mm-hmm. aka a dollar store in Ohio.
Deals.
In American, it's a dollar store. Exactly, deals. Or like, I really enjoy the ones on Talbot Street that have no discernible names whatsoever. You know?
Just the euro sign.
Yeah, or just kind of like, you just kind of know from the outside, just like from the kind of aesthetic that looks like a kind of a festival of shite.
Well, Sophie, you got to get down to Dunleary because there are...
Or get down to Bargentown.
Get exactly. Dunleary is a wealth of shops full of shite.
Oh, I know. Couldn't touch Talbot Street though.
Sophie, and they were all open through the pandemic, lads. Every last one of them. Do you know why? Hardware stores.
Oh yeah, but that's, you get whatever you need in one of those random little hardware stores.
Anything, Cass. What?
Anything you could possibly need. And probably options.
Okay, so in this dollar store, Nicole bought her daughter a lovely princess wand. So nice. It's like pink plastic, kind of big flower on the top with petals. And on the packaging, you know when it's like a square of cardboard and then the item and then there's like, you know, formed plastic over it. You know that packaging. Exactly that. And there was like a smiling sort of princessy looking type person on the packaging, said suitable ages 3 and up. She was like, my daughter's very advanced. She can definitely take, she can be trusted with this 3 and up age range. All great. The back of the package promised that the toy can, quote, send out wonderful music. Sounds
gorgeous.
Delightful.
Send out wonderful music is interesting.
Yeah, sending it out is a little... Yeah. It's a strange... it's a little bit strangely put.
Little
and
off.
And that's the least of what is off about this toy. So she got the toy home and instead of sending out wonderful music, when you push the button on the wand handle... It activated a demonic laugh.
What?
One made all the more disturbing by the product's very cheap, tinny speaker. Do you want to hear the laugh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hang on. I think I have to unplug this. turn this up.
Make sure you're still recording if you're in GarageBand.
I'm recording on my little thing here. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Do it again.
It's good. It's terrifying because I have it on a YouTube video. So there's just this like man in his late 20s drinking a can of Budweiser, pressing the button on this wand. It really adds to it.
That's the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah. So is this guy who's brandishing it. Anyway, that was the laugh. Then on closer inspection, didn't Nicole the man realize there was like a foil sort of seal on the center of the flower at the top of the wand. And she was like, huh, what's this? Unpeeled the foil seal. And underneath was a kind of light up center that was shining light through a horrifying image of a woman with pupilless eyes slitting her wrists.
What? What? What?
In the center.
Why?
Do you want to see her? I'll share my screen. It is horrifying.
Jesus.
Hang on. Let's can you see her?
All right. No, hang on. Oh my, here we go. Yes,
Sophie,
that's fucking horrendous,
isn't it? It's horrible.
This
so
is
like
the best.
For the listener, it's like for starters, this shirt is kind of giving me trauma because it reminds me of the school uniform shirts. Do you remember them with the short sleeves and the collar?
Yeah.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. And that's what this woman's wearing. She has like very sort of, I would say, flat dark brown hair. Like there's no volume at the root. She
greased.
Needs a Revlon styler, maybe a bit of product. And then she's kind of looking back over her shoulder at you, and she's got this kind of like, it looks like black stuff coming out of her mouth, red demonic eye, and then obviously the miming of a heinous act. Look, I can send out the luster of the beauty is what this toy promises, as you can see from its packaging.
This, I think, happens in factories, doesn't it? When it's like, we didn't sell any of this shit, we need to retrofit it into some other piece of shit. Let's use it as stuffing.
Why would they make this weird lady slicing her wrist pog and put that in the heart of a flower?
Yes, with this like kind of manga character who's holding the wand on the packaging. And then
like,
notice
what
the word evil stick is spelled
evil
out
stick.
In like fairy font.
Now that's further confusing this conundrum, because why would they put evil stick right there on the front?
Oh, and how would they have like mashed all of this up in a kind of an afterthought way? It feels,
exactly.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Very.
So anyway, this
very.
Like did the rounds of all like the kind of outrage factory of the local news outlets. Like, you know, demonic toy sold to 3-year-old and that kind of shit. Like, where are your children? Do you know where your children are? Are they receiving the luster of beauty from a demonic cursed toy? Anyway, so they put they can she put the whole pictures out on all the on media, and the whole story like kind of went viral, and loads and loads of theories about like whether somebody had created it as like a creepy prank, like somebody who was working in the factories, because that's the thing. Like another journalist went back to the same dollar store like a week later looking for the evil stick, and he could find the toy in all the packaging, but there in all the others there was like either kind of nothing in the center, or there was like one weird kind of zombie thing in the center of one, and he only found one other with the horrifying image of the woman slitting her wrists. And so there was all these theories that like somebody was like hacking the toy industry like for a laugh, and like making, fucking with the toys and then like secreting them back into the shops and things like that. But like that doesn't add up to me because of the fact that it says evil stick on the packaging. Then there's this kind of weird pog image. I'll tell you where the image comes from. And then the fact that it's kind of like, it's sort of like very random. Like it appears very intermittently, like two out of like a whole bunch of about 20 had her. And so then they started talking about like the whole system of manufacture in China and how with the whole kind of wholesale market, there is like just a tidal wave of product, we all know, coming out of China.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pretty, it's apparently like the whole kind of chain of distribution is completely chaotic. And so they, when they tried to kind of reverse engineer where this wand had come from, it was a fucking nightmare. Virtually impossible for US customs officials to inspect the containers that are coming in. And there's obviously loads of like copyright infringement as well, like nonstop. So actually the girl, like princess, whose like picture is on the packaging is a 90s anime character called Sakura Kinomoto. And so that was stolen for this packaging. And then like she never had a wand in the series. So they just kind of appropriated this random kind of manga character and stuck her on the packaging. And then they went and found the person who had made the freaky image, right?
Yeah, so, what the fuck was that for?
Well, they found it that they basically discovered that it was a part of like an art show in 2002, so like 12 years earlier, by an artist called Butcher Ludwig, excellent name. So he's kind of a horror photographer, and he took the picture as a part of a series called Macabre Muses. And in the original picture, it's like all that stuff around her mouth is actually kind of blood, like a vampire. And so he had intended the picture to look like a vampire about to feast on her own blood for like sustenance. And the model, there was a real woman model. She was about 20 at the time. They, as you can see in what I just showed you, they kind of have manipulated the image a little bit. Like, so they've given her the pair of demonic eyes. And it's like, it was only that the artist saw the image. Or sorry, somebody, sorry, who was making the toy just found the image randomly online and was
perfect.
Like,
print it. This'll do.
Yeah. And so the artist himself was really pissed off, but like they still didn't know where to bring their grievances. Do you know what I mean? So they'd contacted Alibaba, and Alibaba were like, yes, we made it. But then equally, I think they were like, but also we have no idea what the hell we're making at this point.
Well, that's like contacting eBay and being like, look, this. And they're like, well, we didn't manufacture this.
Yeah, it's like contacting Google and being like, I was a bit unhappy with these search results.
Exactly.
It's like nobody's driving the ship, guys. It's very naive to think they are. So anyway, this is all like really like loads of the kind of product tampering shit that like has always been floating around in the ether, like people like talking about people replacing the sherbet in like Halloween sweets with like arsenic and cocaine and all kinds of shit. So like people were
it should
very...
be much cheaper just to keep the sherbet in there.
Exactly. When it comes down to it. Who was it, the big scandal? What was that again? Was it razor blades in...
Apples, wasn't it?
Apples, that's right. What was that?
Well, that was the big urban legend that was going around when we were kids, I think.
Okay.
I remember there was also something about oranges in the supermarket.
It was Advil. There had been deaths. Was it some type of pill? I've got to come back to this because this would make a good creep. Do you not remember this story?
I don't remember Advil.
Okay, I'll come back. I'll come back with the research thing. But yeah, there was a whole huge scandal. And yes, they thought it was a rumor. But that in fact prompted somebody to really do it. And then it became a whole thing.
Of course.
You know, like that's it. You hear an idea and you're like, razor blades and apples is a great idea.
Gorgeous idea. Yeah.
Now, when all the attention started coming onto this in 2014, this guy who was like a home video producer, whatever that means, I don't know, is he just making his own videos?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Sounds like it.
Instagrammer.
Anyway, he found an evil stick back in 2008 in New York. And it was just, again, the exact same thing, like in a dollar store, like just one among millions of like similar but not the same kind of wands and stuff. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, so like it's chaos, isn't it? It's just like
that's
what
6 years
is
earlier.
It's real, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark episode type stuff.
Yeah,
all
like
these kids
Goosebumps.
Are going to
there
be connected. They're weird. Yeah.
With a ventriloquist dummy. Terrifying.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So then the it got really like kind of hyped and people were obsessed with the idea that this guy who had made a YouTube video of it had disappeared.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. So
love this.
Hang on, I'm just trying to find where it was. So yeah, he's the one whose video I just played for the maniacal cackling laugh. And he says, I actually just made this 10 second video to send to my buddy in Cincinnati and I didn't think it would be shared. But it was shared like 100,000 times in the first 24 hours. And like now it's in the millions in terms of views. And like this guy Clark had like a YouTube channel, like I have a YouTube channel, as in like mine's just unlisted videos for sending to other people. Do you know that kind of way? He had no mm-hmm. YouTube presence whatsoever. But then the internet became obsessed with the idea that this Clark guy had died. And so he had to he kind of basically never made another video again because he had really never made one before this
in the first place.
And then people got really obsessed that he'd never been heard from again, and they believed then that like he'd been punished for his curiosity, and he had left some message apparently under the comments of the video which said that he had things quote nearly figured out. So then they were all like, he's flown too close to the powers that he couldn't understand. And so anyway, then
and
basically the reality is that this Clark guy was like, well, after they all started saying I'd been killed by the evil stick, I said, okay, brilliant, that's hilarious, I'm not going to do another video ever again.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to like play up to this. So that is the evil stick. There is still more questions than answers, I'm afraid. But
and
I
that opens
really...
up a huge kind of section of interest with strange products getting to market and demonic voices recording in dolls for children. And there's a whole area of this. And then like bad language, you know what I mean?
There's a whole other like sub area of YouTube that is like bootleg versions of things like Peppa Pig, but they're really fucked up. So they look ever so slightly like Peppa Pig or fucking, you know, Octonauts or whatever. And like, there's been times when like, they've just been playing in the background and like, you know, like I'd be there on the couch, like on Instagram.
Yeah.
As nature intended. And I'd hear like, mommy, ma. And I'd look up and like Peppa Pig would be like knifing
stabbing
some other
one of
pig.
The children.
It's fucking
I think
terrifying.
That as well.
Yeah, it's so crazy that these people make this shit, and the like the algorithm isn't good enough to weed them out. But I then went on Reddit obviously because I was trying to see if there was any actual answers anywhere, and I found this really funny thread of people like obviously just kind of trying to like come up with theories and stuff. And there's this user called Glaive Runner, excellent handle. I enjoy a good handle. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I worked for a small web-based company. We were starting an affiliate program and needed some creatives. And for some reason, we left it up to our small team who were based in India, so overseas, so like less connected in with the main office of the company. The most memorable ad they made for us was a picture of a man looking sad that said, "Need money? Don't do this." And then cycled through a series of images that included handguns, nooses, dangling feet by an overturned stool, and the like. The final frame encouraged people to make money with our affiliate program.
Oh, look. My God.
Isn't it so good? So this person is like, maybe the evil stick is just like a cultural misunderstanding. And then like many people weigh in and they're like, no, like I am Chinese. No. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Parents in China would be horrified by this toy.
Maybe, yeah.
I know.
Maybe they don't realize that vampires and demonic sounds are terrifying for children.
There is another one that I thought was really funny, which was another mom in trying to buy a 2-year-old a toy. Lads, give it up. Like, give them anything. My 1-year-old loves the dustpan and brush. Like,
sellotape,
that's
big
all.
Hit.
Anyway, so she goes and buys a doll, right? And in one of the dollar stores, comes with a little tiny brush and a vanity case, of course. And then she noticed that the doll was called Sexy Playtime Barbie.
Oh, I know this.
And like, it was ages 2 and up. It wasn't like she hadn't strayed into a random section of the dollar store. So I just thought that was kind of funny. Like,
there's a whole Bratz, you know, those Bratz dolls?
Yeah. The LOL dolls are the lawsuit.
LOL
the
dolls.
Bratz dolls. The Bratz dolls look like those fucking blow up blowjob dolls, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely creepy. But anyway, so that if you're listening and you know more, like, that resolves the evil stick, get in touch. If you have an evil stick. Oh, that's another one thing. This guy on YouTube paid $300 for an evil stick because there's so few recorded to have been purchased.
That world's gone mad, lads.
They got $300
Do you know where I'd say you'd get one?
Phelan Porteous. But he calls himself something phallus. I mean, you would if your name was Phelan. That's fair.
Phelan phallus.
Phelan phallus.
Phelan phallus.
What do you? Where would you get one cast?
The Camden Casket on Camden Street. Absolutely. Bingo. 100%. That's the type of shop you go in and you would get yourself an evil stick.
I tell you what else you'll get there. And they all do it. Deals are guilty of this too. Knock off things. Like knock off fairy liquid. That isn't... Yeah. Fairy liquid, but isn't in a fairy liquid bottle and branding. Do you notice that?
Right.
Just me, so.
That's just yourself.
Talk about disappointed. I mean, really, hands that do fairy are as soft as your skin, but not with the shit you're buying in the Camden Casket. Tell you that much. Rip your cuticles off. That was amazing. I'm not going to tell you my story. I'll give you a taster maybe for the live Zoom. Nice. My story is about an ex-US president who spent his final moments being fed beef extract up his arse.
Beautiful. Love that. Is it? Bit of weird Trump history.
Coming at you.
Now can't wait for who is it? It's Woodrow Wilson. It's got to be Woodrow Wilson.
Good luck, good night, God bless. See you in real life on Thursday.
Consider patreon.com/thecreepdive.
Yeah, consider joining us over there. It's great. Welcome to our latest patrons, Andrea, Stephanie, Sophie, Clodagh, Dakota. Hello Dakota. And welcome aboard, gang. I've already posted all those people's totes.
Boom. Get yourself a tote, get yourself to the live on a Thursday, and you can watch Jen and I get drunk and tell stories unwell. Not well. And Sophie tell a story very well.
Two hands on the steering wheel. 10 and 2. That's how I roll.
See you then.
Bye. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.